Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And welcome to another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. It's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, by Face First Medical Aesthetics, above Gabo's on Dudney Avenue, by Mark Greshner Photography, by Double Z Ag Sales out there in Weyburn, by Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, by Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina, and by SAS Selects Football. Just ahead of today's guest, I want to give a shout out to the only Canadian MLB umpire, Stu Sherwater from Regina. What an outstanding story, and we don't highlight it enough as far as I'm concerned. Good luck to him as he's getting his first ever playoff assignment. The former Thunder football player is the home plate ump for game one of the Atlanta Braves Cincinnati Reds best of three NL wildcard series. I went back and forth with him on text. He didn't want to talk on the record until the playoffs are done, but he has agreed to join me once again on this podcast once the postseason is over. Stewie says he's very excited, calling it the next step in a dream come true. Time now for the homegrown segment for Riviera Ag Seeds, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. And in the spotlight today in our homegrown segment for Riviera Ag Seeds is Dylan Sokochoff. He's a receiver with the Miller Marauders in his grade 12 year. Man, what a terrible year to be in grade 12.
Yes, very.
Yeah, so how are you guys dealing with it? Are you guys still practicing over at Miller? How's that working?
Yeah, we just started practicing this week. We're practicing 3 days a week just to get everybody like in the zone or just to get everyone active and like knowing the plays and everything like that.
Yeah. So what have the coaches told you? Like, is there a chance maybe we could do something in the spring? Is that kind of a carrot that's out there that you might be able to nibble at in the future? Or is it just a thing where we're just going to stay active, play in the fall, practice, do some skelly, maybe do some, scrimmages, inter-squad scrimmages, things like that?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to be doing because we really haven't heard anything about if we're going to have something in the spring. So I guess it's just our hopes of having something in the spring.
So failing that, if you guys didn't have spring football in terms of high school, there is the RMF Spring Football League. Now, yeah, I believe when you're grade 12, you can't play in it, but maybe they'll make some sort of amends where you guys could play because that senior tape is so important, Dylan.
Oh, yeah, it's very important because – that's usually where coaches look is your grade 12 year. Mm-hmm. For Spring League, usually grade 12s don't play in the RMS Spring League. So if we don't have a high school season, I would hope that RMF arranges something for the grade 12s.
5'11", 170-pounder, a receiver, out of Miller High School. Tell me about your football background. How did you get into the game? And tell us some of the things you've done in the game of football.
I got into the game. I started playing. My first year was Pee Wee, and I've been playing ever since. I've played on the select team for 4 years. I've been playing selects. I was at Greenhill High School and we moved to Regina, so that's why I'm with Miller now.
Mm-hmm. How long were you at Greenhill for?
Till mid of grade 10.
Okay, and what was the transition like going from that? Did you play football there and then you transitioned to Miller? What was the transition like between the two programs?
I'd say Miller is a lot better. Just more organized, and I'm not dissing Greenhill, but I know I like the coaches at Miller. They take it very serious that we do our jobs, everything like that.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your aspirations after grade 12, Dylan? What do you want to do? Junior university? What's your goal?
I'd like to play post-secondary, but if I did get a junior offer, I would consider it, yes.
Yeah, I hear a lot of guys say, you know, I'm glad I played a couple of years of junior to let my game and body develop. Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, because after high school, I'm pretty sure you get 5 years to play youth sports, I think. So if you play junior for your first 2 years, you'll still get 3 years at a youth sport.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's the strength of your game, Dylan?
What do you mean, like?
What's the strength of your game? Like, what's the best point of your game? Like, if I'm coming to watch you play, what are some of the strengths in your game?
I'm committed. I really don't let anything bother me. If I get knocked down, I'll get back up and do the job how it's supposed to. I don't really let anything bother me.
Attention to detail guy, yeah. One thing you want to work on as you, in your grade 12 year and as you try to take that step to the next level?
One thing I would like to is my speed and, like, getting in and out of cuts faster. I think I'm, like, almost at the top of that. Like, I'd say get more coordinated and,
Dylan, and how frustrating and confusing is it for you, you watch like RMF and they're playing nine man football in Pee-wee and Bantam, but we can't figure out a way to play football in high school.
Yeah, that's RMF. I'd say is different than high school, but yeah, at least I wish we would consider something for high school because we really we're all used to having games at this point and just playing football.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like you've kind of been let down as a grade 12 student by the powers that be?
Yeah. Cause in grade 12, you're looking forward to a grade 12 season. And like, that's the most important part of your high school football is your grade 12 season.
How hard has it been on an athlete like you mentally, from a mental standpoint? Because we always talk about mental health nowadays.
Yeah, I know, kind of knocks you down a little bit when you when you're hoping for like a scholarship or anything along those lines. When you think of that, you're not going to have a grade 12 year. That kind of puts you down, and you're not as confident.
You talked about getting knocked down and getting back up. How do you do that mentally, Dylan? What do you do to prop yourself back up?
I train, go with my quarterback, do routes and everything, and hope for the best. Like, I think positive rather than negative.
Well, I'm hoping for you too, my friend. Hopefully you guys can get on the field in some form or fashion, and we can talk about you in grade 12 playing football and beyond. Thanks for this. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Time now for the pick six as we look back on week three in the NFL. It's brought to you by SAS Selects Football out there, operating at the Yara Center building, the Stars of Tomorrow today. They're well into their new 7-on-7 league with varsity and junior varsity programs, and by all accounts, they're having a great time out there. I believe it's into week four. Good job on Deb and Zelko Stefanovic building the Stars of Tomorrow today with their SAS Selects football program. All right, let's turn our attention to number one of the pick six. Bills quarterback Josh Allen is good enough to keep both teams in the game. Allen staked Buffalo to a 28-3 lead only to have the Rams storm back to go ahead 32-28. Then came Allen's game-winning drive, which went into the books as having consumed 11 plays, 75 yards, and 4:15 off the clock. But Allen, in typical Allen fashion, made it harder than he had to. Josh took a sack, completed a 22-yard pass on 3rd and 22, misguidedly attempted a lateral that bounced out of bounds, was called for a 15-yard face mask while trying to avoid a sack, and right when the Bills could least afford it. But he did throw the game-winning touchdown, so the dude's got plenty of promise and plenty of nail-biting moments, too. Number two in Ballsy's pick six, Russell Wilson is the MVP. He threw for 315 yards and five more touchdowns in a 38-31 win against the Cowboys. He might have had another touchdown pass had DK Metcalf not pulled a Leon Lett and celebrated early. Wilson also marched the Seahawks 75 yards on eight plays and just 212 on the game-winning drive, which included a clutch completion of Greg Olsen, the tight end, on a 4th-and-3. Wilson has 14 TD passes in the first three games, an NFL record. Number three on Ballsy's pick six. The Atlanta Falcons, man, they blew a 16-point lead against the Bears in the final 6:30, just 1 week after blowing a 20-point lead against the Cowboys, which featured that botched watermelon onside kick. For those keeping score at home, that's back-to-back losses despite having a win probability of greater than 98% in the fourth quarter of both games. How does Dan Quinn still have a job heading into week four? Arthur Blank is the most patient owner ever. Maybe that's why he built a fortune with the Home Depot. I don't know. What do I know? Anyway, number four on Ballsy's pick six. Bears quarterback Nick Foles led that comeback that I talked about against the Falcons. He has bounced around the league, five teams in nine NFL seasons, but he's also famously beat Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl in one of his two stops in Philadelphia. Chicago traded for Foles this offseason as insurance for Mitch Trubisky. Foles' role as a backup officially lasted exactly 2.5 games. He threw for 3 touchdowns and 1 pick, and it was enough to lead the Bears over the Falcons. Now, barring an injury or a face plant by Foles, which could happen because he's good in short spurts, not when he has total control of a team. I don't know, man. It doesn't look too good for Trubisky in Chicago. Number five on Ballsy's pick six, a tale of two quarterbacks in the Bengals and Eagles 23-23 tie. Joe Burrow of the Bengals will be a stud. He threw for over 300 yards and 2 touchdowns to 9 different receivers in that game while being sacked 8 times and hit hard 18 times. But he had 0 turnovers. He has just 1 interception and 1 fumble in 3 games. Now the Bengals better get him help or he'll be dead or have PTSD. And maybe that's just what the Eagles' Carson Wentz is going through right now. Like Burrow, he has no O-line, but he is turning it over. He averaged just 4.9 yards per pass attempt in that game and had 2 more interceptions, giving him 6 on the season. And remember, he didn't win that Super Bowl. Foles did. And Philly fans aren't exactly patient. Remember, they famously once booed Santa Claus in the late 70s. And number six on Ballsy's pick six for the Sasselex football program. The first 2 weeks of the season produced more points than any in NFL history. That trend continued in week three with 15 teams scoring at least 30 points. This is football at every level now. Offensive coaches have discovered the efficiencies of the passing game, something we knew in Canadian football decades ago. They've learned all manners of deception and the use of space, plus rule changes instituted in the name of both player safety, wink, wink, and a desire for more excitement. I'd hate to coach or play defense right now. It's actually making the game predictable and boring, just like the three-pointer is in the NBA. And after watching that Monday night game, two things become apparent to me. We take Patrick Mahomes and his brilliance for granted, and Lamar Jackson of the Ravens is overrated. In the big games, he doesn't show up. 0-3 versus the Chiefs, 0-2 in the playoffs. Monday night, 97 yards passing, 83 yards rushing. Sure, he's a great athlete, one of the best in the NFL. Average quarterback at best, though. As the great Dan Marino, the Hall of Famer, once said, you can't teach accuracy. You either have it or you don't. And my eyes tell me he doesn't. Time now for the extra point. Now, people will scoff at Colts quarterback Philip Rivers and his stats, that he's never won anything and is 5-6 in the playoffs. Rivers played an AFC championship game in New England without an ACL in his knee. With LT as outstanding running back out due to a knee injury, and tight end Antonio Gates was hobbled by a turf toe, and they only lost 21-12 to Brady. But let's talk stats, okay? Here is the indisputable bottom line. Rivers has put himself in a club alongside the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history by reaching 60,000 passing yards and 400 touchdown passes last week. He now belongs to a group of 6 QBs to surpass both plateaus. The others are Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and Dan Marino. Every one of those players was or will be first ballot Hall of Fame selections. Marino never won a Super Bowl, and neither did Dan Fouts, the Chargers quarterback whose records Rivers has smashed. And that Dan is in the Hall too. Rivers is a Hall of Famer, so says this podcast. No arguments. Well, it's time now to have a little fun here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. We got our production staff together, and we put together a little song in honor of Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, getting off of his charges at that massage parlor.
Admit it, Robert Kraft. You got caught committing a sex act. But because you're rich and you own the Pats, you didn't even get your wrist slapped.
Get him to the bridge. Come on.
Dirty boy, got a rub and tug at the Asian joint. A happy ending I'm sure you enjoyed. Both for you and lawyers you employ.
Take him to the chorus.
Come on, girl.
He won't be charged with
I'll
it.
Lay on my back.
He'll get away with
I'm
it.
A VIP.
Attorneys take care.
Heard
of
it. Tom Brady?
For the rich, it's different.
Let's see what you're working with.
He won't be charged
you
with it.
You work for tips.
He'll get away
that
with it.
That makes me smile.
Attorneys take care
like
of
six
it.
Super Bowl titles.
For the rich, it's different.
Get your rubbing on.
He won't be charged with it.
Get your rubbing on.
He'll get away with
get
it.
Get your rubbing on.
Attorneys take care of it.
Get your rubbing on. You did it, Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
You're nearly 80. You should take a nap.
Yeah.
You're lucky. Could have had a heart attack. Grandpa did that.
Yeah.
Gross.
Well, as I tape this podcast, it is September 29th, and on this day in 2006 in Vancouver, I was in the stands broadcasting the game between the Rams and T-Birds when Rams quarterback Teal Orban set two team records that night by throwing for 548 yards and six touchdowns in a 60-48 loss to UBC. Imagine throwing six touchdowns, over 500 yards, and still losing by 12 points. Wow. Quarterback Brett Rypien, who is from Calgary and is the nephew of former NFL quarterback Mark Rypien and the nephew of late Pats forward Rick Rypien, gets the start for the injury-depleted Denver Broncos this Thursday as the Broncos play the lowly New York Jets, with both teams looking for their first win of the season. So two putrid teams playing on Thursday Night Football, but something to watch there in the form of Brett Rypien. For now, the Steelers and Titans game remains a go as I tape this podcast. The Titans have had three players and five other personnel test positive for COVID-19. Their facilities remain closed till Saturday. The Minnesota Vikings have tested negative. They were the team that played the Titans. So far, no positive tests in their camp. The NFL may push the Steelers-Titans game to Monday night, but I'm thinking they'll probably move it to week number seven, when both teams were due to have a bye. They need to give the Titans time to adequately prepare for a big game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That would be a battle of 3-0 football teams right there. And we celebrate a couple of birthdays today. Megatron, Calvin Johnson's 35. If you're not a football fan, you remember him from Dancing with the Stars. But he is a former Detroit Lions wide receiver who holds the record for most receiving yards in a season. He and Barry Sanders retired early because the Lions suck that bad. Just imagine, your franchise is so bad, your organization is so pathetic, that two franchise generational players say, nah, you know what? I'm going to quit well before I'm supposed to be done. And Bryant Gumbel, the outstanding sportscaster, is 72. I put him in the same type of category as Bob Costas. Very thoughtful, deep thinkers, more than just scores and highlights.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.